Let's take our Bibles and let's turn to the book of the Apocalypse, the unveiling, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Where are we in God's prophetic calendar? We saw last week that we are in that period of time called the Laodicean period. We saw that our passage in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, begins with a characterization of the Lord. The Lord is the true one. In spite of the unfaithfulness of men, He is the true witness. And even if the professing church be unfaithful, He cannot deny Himself. He is the faithful. He is the true witness in spite of false doctrine. He is the beginning of the creation of God. The word beginning does not mean that Christ was an angel or a creation from God, but on the contrary, He is the first cause. That's the meaning of the concept. The first cause of the creation of God. Colossians 1:16 was our text, for by Him were all things created. So then we saw, after a characterization of the Lord, we saw last week a condemnation from the Lord in verses 15 through 17. The Lord, who stands in the midst of the candlesticks uniquely, is the one who is able to see His local churches for what they are. And He says, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. They were indifferent. And He says, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. And we saw that that's referring to non-believers, because you see verses 17 and 18 and the description that is given of them, and also their need to receive white raiment, which in the book of Revelation is characterized by all true believers in Christ. And of course, verse 19, as many as I phileo, those that are in my family, I will rebuke and chasten. Those others that were in verses 17 and 18 were those who did not know Christ as Savior. And then, of course, in verses 18 and 19, the Lord's counsel is given. Now, we have arrived at verses 20 through 22, and I'd like to concentrate on the Lord's commitment to the true body of Christ within the Laodicean church period. And the Lord has a commitment. You know, when you read verse 20, it says this, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. How ironic it is that Jesus should actually be outside of the door of His own professing church. You see, this demonstrates to us that the Laodicean period is a time in which the professing church is so glutted by the ranks of the unsaved that by and large, Jesus is on the outside knocking, seeking to bring conviction to a professing church that cares not for the things of God. Many of you know the famous picture of Jesus knocking on the door, Holman Hunt's famous picture. And you remember that Christ is knocking on the door and there's no handle for Him to open. The door is to be opened from the inside. And isn't that true with all individuals? You know, sometimes we can be concerned about people that are lost, whether it's parents or our children or neighbors, and we try to give them the gospel and try to explain to them the nature of salvation, and they will not respond. Because faith is the hand of the heart that reaches out and lets Jesus in. And if an individual does not allow Jesus in, he's not going to kick the door down. Man does have a free will. And the doorknob is on the inside. Here in Revelation 3:20, I know that oftentimes, you know, we use it, and I've used it as an invitation when I'm witnessing to someone. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the child of God, even to them that believe on his name." Here, actually, in context, Revelation 3:20 is actually an invitation to an apostate church. Think of it. Revelation 3:20 is actually an invitation to an apostate church in the last days. That really puts it in its proper setting. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't use it as an evangelistic appeal, because likewise, people need to respond. But here we have a case of Jesus giving an invitation. I want us to look for a few moments this evening at four ways in which Christ knocks on the door. There are four ways that Christ knocks on the door, yea, even the door of the apostate church. There are four ways. Number one is through His Word. You know, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, finish it with me, by the Word of God. You see, man needs to hear the Word of God. And it is exactly the Word of God, dear people, that the apostate church is chucking out the door, and they don't want to hear it. And if we remove the Word of God, and we substitute for it rock music or entertainment or visiting groups or dancing for Jesus or, you know, some other type of activity, and we never give the Word of God out, it's no surprise that the church in the last days is going to be glutted with the unregenerate, you see. And faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. In the book of John chapter 5 and verse 24, here's what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. But you have to hear the Word of God, you see. So that's the first way that Jesus knocks on the door, through His Word. Are you giving God's Word out? Don't paraphrase it. Give God's Word out. Don't try to say, well, people, they don't accept the Word of God, so I'm just not going to use it, and I'll just try to reason people to Jesus. Because after all, they don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, so I'm not going to use it. You know what? Use it anyway. Use it anyway. Because God's Word needs to be unleashed. God's Word is like a bulldog. You don't have to argue with the person that's there confronting. Just unleash the Word of God and let it do its work. Because the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. Successful witnessing is sharing the Word of God in the power of the Spirit and leaving the results to God. And when we preach, when we teach, when we witness, we unleash God's Word. And we need to have God's Word in our hearts. We need to have God's Word on our lips to share the gospel. So that's the first way that Christ knocks on the door, through the Word of God. By the way, are you in the Word of God? Are you preparing yourself, arming yourself, assimilating, memorizing God's Word, taking time? That's how God speaks to you. That's how we have oneness of mind in our homes between husbands and wives, when both are in the Word of God. You get outside of the will of God and you'll start arguing with your wife. Everything will be an argument. Everything will be strife and contention. You'll be just pulling and tugging, and everything will be out of sync when you are out of the Word of God as a couple, as individuals, as children. Now, there's a second way that Christ knocks on the door, not only through His Word, but through His people. Through His people. Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. God uses people. Isn't it wonderful that God, the eternal God, the omnipotent God, isn't it wonderful that He would use vessels of clay, sinners, imperfect beings like we all are, saved by grace, that God should work through us? That's the greatest of miracles. Romans 10, verse 14. God knocks on the door of people's hearts through His people. Look at verse 14. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a proclaimer? That's the idea. Don't think that preacher means, you know, he's been ordained and he's been to seminary, or, you know, he's got reverend or whatever in front of his name. It's the word proclaimer, a heralder. And that's you. That's me. That's somebody who is a voice, a mouthpiece of God. And the Lord knocks on people's hearts through His people. It says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Now, if you were to take your shoes off, some of you might, you know, say, well, I'm embarrassed to take my shoes off. I've got bunions and blisters and calluses and all of that. Listen, God says if you herald God's word and you take the gospel, you have beautiful feet. You have beautiful feet. And it says here, how beautiful are the feet. You know, feet, nothing special about feet. If it would have said, how eloquent is the tongue, or how wonderful is the sharp mind, some of us would automatically be disqualified because you know, we don't have the sharp eloquence, or we don't have a sharp mind or something, but we all got feet. You know, plain feet, you know what that speaks of? A willingness to go. Feet. Everywhere you go, your little tootsies go with you. You know that? And they carried you here to church. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, you know, your feet just speak about a willingness to go. And that's what God uses. God doesn't need your eloquence. He doesn't need, you know, Apollos was eloquent. And, you know, you talk about in church history, Chrysostom, you know, the golden mouth preacher. And you know, we've had people like that. But, you know, Paul said, my speech is contemptible. And God uses people that are just plain willing to go. You know, He just needs feet. You know, He's not looking for just seminary-trained professors. He just wants people. Anybody have feet that are just willing to go? You open up your mouth and I'll fill it with my precious truths. That's what the Lord says. And you don't have to have any kind of special training. All you need to do is unleash what God's word means to you and what God has done in your life. And you can be greatly used. God knocks on people's hearts, first of all, through His word and through people. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Somebody said, gossip, if you have to gossip, gossip the gospel. Both of them begin with the word go. Well, that's a good thing. Gossip the gospel, and we'll have plenty of work to do if we do that. Now, turn to John 16 and verse 7. In John 16 and verse 7, the third thing that the Lord uses to knock on the door of people's hearts is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Nobody can be saved apart from the Holy Spirit. It says in John 16 and verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's necessary, it's expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. You see, we're living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And when Christ ascended, that ushered in on the day of Pentecost a new dispensation, the dispensation of the church, the dispensation of that period of time in which the Holy Spirit indwells believers and endues them on high with power to share the gospel. And the Comforter would come. And what's the ministry of the Holy Spirit? To knock on the door of people's hearts. When He's come, He'll reprove the world of sin. When a person realizes their sin, they're responding to the work of the Holy Spirit, who reveals man's need of the gospel. He'll convict the world of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. All men are sinners. We've rejected Jesus. We put Him on the cross. Then the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of righteousness. And I might add, man's lack of it. There was only one righteous person that was perfect before God, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And His righteousness was evidenced by the resurrection. When Jesus rose from the grave, what God was saying is this: "This is My Son, in whom I am well pleased." He is the only one who has the right to ascend up into heaven before My presence on behalf of those that believe. And that's why it says of righteousness, because I go to My Father. Because Jesus went to His Father, that shows that God accepted the righteousness of Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict men of their lack of righteousness and the fact that Jesus is the only righteous one. So the Holy Spirit gives people good theology, basically. And then it says the Holy Spirit's job is to knock on people's heart to tell them about a coming judgment. If you don't repent, you're going to be judged. Why? Because if the prince of this world, who is the leader that you're following, is judged, how much more will you, his follower, be as an unbeliever? The very fact that Satan is under death condemnation is a warning to all who will follow him that a similar judgment awaits them who follow Satan rather than the light. Do not follow the prince of this world. Finally, there's a fourth way in which the Lord knocks on the door of people's hearts. And you know what it is? Providential work. Providential work. Now, what in the world do I mean by that? Let me take you to Psalm 148. And this will be as up-to-date as Good Morning America will be tomorrow morning. Look at Psalm 148 and verse 8. The Bible tells us in Psalm 148 and verse 8, and let's read it together, shall we? Psalm 148 and verse 8. Read it with me. "Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word." Dear people, God is knocking on the hearts of people, using providential circumstances to bring them to repentance. Illustration: Haiti. Through calamity, God is exhorting people of their need to repent. Now, are we saying that the people in Haiti are sinners above all others in the world? On the contrary, Jesus said in the book of Luke, "Do you think that those upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell, do you think that they were above all sinners more than others? No, I tell you, unless you all repent, you'll perish." There's a lesson from Haiti to us as a nation. And that is this: what sorer judgment will follow upon us who have all of the blessings, who have all of the riches, who have all of the creature comforts, and yet we have apostatized more so than another country that maybe is in voodoo that never really had the truth like we have. You see, God knocks on the door of people's hearts. And I ask myself, as America is in the last stage of the professing church, the Laodicean church, what calamities might await our nation as a warning of impending judgment that a greater judgment awaits, and that is the great tribulation period. Oh, may men respond to the fourfold work of the Spirit of God knocking on people's hearts. through the Word of God, through the people of God, through the Spirit of God, through providential work. All of this is true. Now, the Lord says, back to our text in Revelation 3:20 as I close, the Lord gives an invitation. He does not want to cast judgment. On the contrary, He wants to bring saving relationship. He wants fellowship. He wants to sup with us. That word sup is a kingdom concept. It has the idea of fellowshipping. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 30, you have the very same concept. Luke 22 and verse 30, if you'll just allow me to read this. The Lord is speaking to His apostles and their place in the future kingdom. And He says, I'll appoint you apostles a kingdom that you may eat and drink at My table in My kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Sitting, eating, and drinking, supping is a kingdom concept. And the Lord wants people to receive Him as Savior and enter into His heavenly kingdom. May the Lord challenge us. True believers are found in verse 21. Oh, yes, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. All true believers, as John says in his first epistle, 1 John, all true believers are overcomers. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, dear people, let's be door knockers for Jesus. Every opportunity we get, because there are people that need to know Christ as personal Savior. And if you're listening to this message today and you have never responded by opening the door of your heart, make that decision tonight. You have no assurance of a future opportunity to be saved. Open the door of your heart and receive Him in. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Bless this brief challenge as we've looked to Christ's closing message to the professing apostate church. And yet, Lord, a church that did contain in minority numbers, yes, but a remnant that was still standing. And Lord, that element You would rebuke and chasten because, Lord, they're part of Your family. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, door knockers, to be used of God. What a blessing it is, as the hymn writer said. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.